Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Here on Sports Time Radio, I'm the Big Jack. Of course, with me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, of course, since it's Wednesday, there is a new blog up, so swing on over there and check that out. Don't forget, you know, content is added throughout the week, so you want to continue to swing over there and see what's going on. But while you're at sportstimeradio.com, click that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could give that a like while you're over there, well, we greatly appreciate that. There's also the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan Z Man with three E's.
So now, you know, Dan, I forgot completely about this yesterday, and I think we never really got into huge baseball stuff besides Clay Buchholz. Now, you know, you've been tweeting out, of course, the Cubs raised their ticket prices. They won the World Series. That's what kind of happens with teams. Actually, I think ticket prices go up just because. Now, yesterday I saw that if you're a season ticket holder of the Cubs, and now I don't know if other teams do this, and you sell the majority of your tickets,
they'll take them
that
away.
They're going to take away your season tickets. I guess. How do they track that? How do they know you're selling tickets?
Everything's done online now. So when you're a season ticket holder, you get your own account. And they can only track them if you do it digitally, which is obviously the easiest way to do it, because you can literally post from your Cubs account to, to StubHub. Or a couple of the guys that the one guy I deal with, that's how he sent them to me, through the internet. So they can literally track everywhere your tickets go.
So you're saying when you're a season ticket holder, you no longer get the big package in the mail with all the tickets in it?
No, you still get that too.
Oh, but, okay.
But, you know, that's something they'll eventually phase out because from what my boss said, the Blackhawks did that. So the Blackhawks don't even send you hard copies anymore. Everything's internet-based.
You know, and now what I'm kind of wondering here in, you know, our litigious society, let's call it, is this a lawsuit waiting to happen? I mean, the Cubs tell people what to do with their tickets once they're purchased, can they?
I mean, you have to fully read that agreement.
Yeah, you need to get your hands on one of those. So, you know, we know what's going on with it. Because, yeah, I mean, it just sounded, you know, off the top of my head, I mean, it just sounded like a lawsuit waiting to happen. I mean, you're going to, you know, I mean, imagine if it's one of these, you know, legacy things where it's been passed down from, you know, grandfather to father to grandson, and you know he's planning on leaving them to, you know, little junior or whoever else is there, you know, his daughter or whatever, and you know he's selling these things and they get them yanked. You know, it just seems like we're going to court.
Yeah, you would think so, but it doesn't matter. My boss actually has a friend who has a front row right behind the Cubs dugout, and he's going to lose his tickets next year.
Lose them because he's just not renewing, or?
Because of the Cubs are taking them away.
Okay, did they say why? Is he one of the guys selling them, or?
No, I think next year he'll still have them, but the year after, because they're starting that diamond, I don't know what it's called, but they're doing an underground bar, and everything's going to be revamped behind home plate.
Oh, okay. I did not know that. So.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's going to be a luxury club. It's going to be something you and I will never, you know, barring you become friends with the CEO of ComEd or, you know, something like that. We'll never know what it's like other than the pictures that are posted online.
Now, will he get an option, do you know, to buy other season tickets?
Yeah, he'll get that option. But, I mean, that's even,
yeah,
Mike, with the playoffs. The my season ticket holders, they, you know, they're bleacher guys. But when it came to the playoffs, they were kind of given an option of what to buy, but they were all seats. They no longer had rights to the bleachers.
Oh, wow. Yeah, you know, I know it gets a little finagly, you know, it can get a little, you know, a little dirty. And I mean, let's face it. I mean, you know, you and I, you know the deal. We used to have the music, you know, cash rules everything around me. And that, you know, that's how it goes, especially with sports teams. So it's, it'll be interesting to see. Yeah, I'm waiting to see the, what happens the first time they pull somebody's season tickets for selling, you know, too many. And the weird thing is like, I don't know, maybe they put a guideline out there for it, but they didn't put like what is too many. I mean, obviously if you're a full season ticket holder, you have 81 games. Do you have to go to 50%? I mean, can you sell 40 games? You know, what's the limit? I mean, cause let's be fair. You can't expect a working man, woman, whatever you want to describe it as, to make 81 games. You know, that's something like, you know, idiots like you and I would do if we had season tickets. We would just keep going and probably show up even when there weren't games, just because we're weird like that. But, you know, it's understandable. You know, I remember, you know, years ago, Steve Dahl on the radio, he was a Chicago White Sox ticket holder. He's a lifelong White Sox fan. And when he couldn't go to games, that was his radio prize. He'd just give them out to one of his listeners. You know, obviously the catch being you had to come down to the station to pick them up. But, you know, it was always kind of pretty cool because obviously he had really good seats. But, you know, he did, you know, to be fair, he did go to the majority of the games, even though they were White Sox games. And, yeah, you know, it was just when I heard this, I thought, man, I can't believe I forgot to ask Dan about this. But maybe this moves you up the season ticket list faster?
Possibly, but since I didn't go to the meeting back in 12 or 13, I got kicked off the list.
Oh, geez. So.
Yeah, so, I mean, I didn't bother. But, I mean, I would probably be one of those guys losing them because, you know,
yeah,
I wouldn't have gone to no 82 games. I would have gone to 3 if I was lucky.
Yeah.
You know, what I do think it opens up for, though, is opportunities for the Cubs to control more of their tickets. That way they can offer more. Because if you, like San Francisco, for instance, even the White Sox, they have millions of different options, you know, where you can get,
right,
you know, select games, just the bobblehead games, just certain games. So, you know, you can even become a season ticket holder, a partial season ticket holder, having, you know, just weekends or certain games. So I think it's something to open up where they get more control over their tickets.
Yeah, it seems, you know, and I mean, I know the White Sox do it because they, you know, have issues selling games to regular games. So, you know, it's the deal where, you know, you get a ticket to, you know, the Yankee game, and then you've got to buy all these other, you know, oddities when, you know, the Rays are in town or when so-and-so is here, you know, stuff like that, so they can get their, you know, they can get their attendance figures up for, whoa, almost lost my headset there, for those kind of games. So, but now the Cubs obviously don't seem to have an attendance problem. What would lead them down that path? I mean, is it just really trying to get more people in the ballpark?
Well, you've got to wonder if they're trying to get rid of ticket brokers. Because my season ticket holder, I was asking him for a handful of tickets for a couple of my friends. And he goes, well, you know, this was back in May. He goes, you got to let me know by the end of the month because I've got them all sold to a ticket broker right now. He goes, so
oh, wow.
You know, get back to me. Yeah, he goes, 2 weeks and get back to me in 2 weeks. He goes, because I've already kind of, you know, put the deal together with this broker. And I think, you know, Wrigley Field's probably the only place I've gone where all around that field you have the guys with stacks of tickets trying to sell them. And I think they can try to avoid that.
Yeah, well, yeah, I guess, you know, obviously they want to limit the market, so it's really just their ticket brokerage, right? I mean, obviously StubHub is already always going to be around, but do they have their own deal, or is it with StubHub?
I don't know. I mean, I think they would probably like, you know, the people instead of scalping, they're buying from the brokers outside to come to the box office and buy them.
Huh. Yeah, it's just kind of, you know, it was just so weird when I, you know, I started hearing the story and I was just like, man, you know, if I was a season ticket holder and I lost them, you know, that would probably be the first thing I'd be looking for is, okay, well, I'm going to need to consult a lawyer and, you know, maybe get some other season ticket holders who lost their tickets and, you know, go in on this together and see if there's anything we could do. Cause I don't know. It just seemed kind of shady, I guess is the best way to look at it. You know, especially with a team that doesn't have a problem selling out, you know, and it's kind of like, okay, well, you know, you don't want the fans to make the money. I mean, you've already got the money for the ticket. You know, it's not like you're losing out. They're paying your exorbitant price for whatever seat it is. You know, does it matter if they sell them?
No, I mean, they definitely have to sell.
Are you gonna start buying tickets under your wife's name in case, you know, they shut you down, you know, if you buy tickets and sell them, you know, like that?
No, I might just have to start having my boss buy them since he's a secret ticket holder.
Yeah. But yeah, because like, you know, obviously in the fantasy leagues I do with Mr. Fantasy, you know, there's guys there. You know, there's White Sox season ticket holders, Cubs season ticket holders. I think one guy's a Blackhawks season ticket holder. You know, these guys are all loaded. You know, they're making high six, seven figures a year, you know, and I'm sitting there going, why am I here? But, you know, just one of those oddities. You know, he normally, you know, like the Cubs season ticket holder always just sells them to his friends. You know, so they just come to his house and give him money. So obviously a guy like that's not going to have any problem. You know, do you think it drives more guys just to do business that way? You know, if online is going to be tracked, you can just say, hey, you know, let's, you know, meet here or however that works out. And, you know, almost like a scalper does or a broker does outside the ballpark.
Yeah, well, the other guy I deal with, he actually sends me, he doesn't even deal electronically. So he sends you the tickets flat out.
Yeah, which, you know, which is probably smart. I mean, if they're going to start tracking these, you know, that's probably the smart way to do it. Because, it just seems...
I mean, they always say it's hard to do them, you know, on Craigslist because you don't know who to trust and whatnot.
Right.
If you have the hard ticket, the other issue is if you have the hard ticket, they can still go and, technically, if they wanted to, send you the electronic ticket. And then, you know, if whoever shows up first, that's the ticket that gets scanned, and the other one's screwed.
Oh, I was wondering how that worked. You know, if the hard ticket person shows up and the electronic ticket person shows up, who gets the seat? So it's just first come, first serve?
Well, pretty much. So I think that'll avoid a lot of the issues.
I don't know. Just like I said, I just thought it was kind of interesting. But you know, since we are on baseball, Dan, it may have looked like the White Sox, I don't know if you want to say caught a break or may have possibly found the right taker for Jose Quintana. You know, there was a lot of rumors out there that the Rangers wanted in on him, but the White Sox asked for Jerks and Profar Plus, and the Rangers thought the price was a little too high. Now, the White Sox are going to get a lot for Quintana. You know, he's a quality left-handed pitcher, and he's got 4 years left of club control. So if they decide to move him, it's going to be big. Well, now all the reports are, Dan, that a team with definitely one of the top farm systems you would want to deal with, the Pittsburgh Pirates, are interested in bringing in Quintana. You know, he seems like the perfect fit for them, a left-handed pitcher who's got a lot of club control, doesn't make a lot of money. You think they can get together and work something out? Because, I mean, the Pirates definitely have the prospects that are going to interest the White Sox.
I was going to throw out another name, but they're not looking to get older, so just so their center field void.
Yeah, you know, as great as, you know, it would be to have him in Chicago, you know, even if it's the White Sox, not the Cubs, it's just, yeah, there's no no match there to bring Kutch to the to the South Side. So, you know, it's just one of those situations. You know, you have to kind of understand. I'm like, oh, this could be so cool, yeah, but yeah, not gonna happen there. So, but yeah, you know, I mean, they, you know, the Pirates have some, you know, what look to be major league ready prospects. You know, Tyler Glasnow got a little look last year. You know, Austin Meadows is actually one of the reasons they're trying to move McCutchen, is they want to get Meadows into the lineup every day. And then we saw a little bit of Josh Bell last season. And while Bell is probably better suited to play first base in the American League, he could DH. So, you know, those are, you know, three pretty big time names that I'm sure would interest the White Sox, you know, along with, you know, there's a ton of other top guys. I mean, we could go over these names that, you know, we've, you know, never seen or quite a few years away. But yeah, is Pittsburgh going to turn out to be the best match for the Sox?
I think that would be a great match. It would be interesting to see Quintana on their lineup.
Yeah. Imagine him, you know, you got him and Garrett Cole, and then depending on what else they could kind of fill out behind them, you know, that could be a pretty interesting rotation. You know, as long as everybody else could stay healthy, you know, they have, you know, Jameson Taillon, who was, you know, had his, I believe his first full season this year, or almost the first full season. You know, so he's really not a prospect anymore. Yeah. If, you know, you could add, you know, Quintana to that, I mean, it could be a really interesting, you know, interesting mix. I mean, I think it would have the possibility of maybe getting them back into wild card contention, couldn't it?
Sorry, it's loud.
Well, you know, you're crashing buses into each other. I understand. So, but yeah, I'm looking here to see if there's any, you know, they don't really give any names that are, you know, that the White Sox have mentioned here in this deal here. I'm just kind of scrolling down and try to see what. Yeah, it's just, you know, it's the you know, they name the top five prospects, mentioning, you know, some of them would have to go. So, yeah, it's just, you know, more or less that kind of way. But interestingly, you know, we brought up McCutchen, and apparently it's now the Dodgers who are kicking the tires on McCutcheon. How would you feel about that, since you kind of lean that LA way?
I mean, who would they send over? Julio?
Yeah, you know. Well, you know, the talk is, you know, the talk is, you know, Jose De Leon's name seems to continue to come up in all this trade talk. You know, I guess the Dodgers have shot down the fact that they're going to move, you know, Julio Urías. So, you know, it'll be, you know, Jose De Leon will be the big name you'll see out there, because he's a top pitching prospect. So it would be a deal, you know, surrounded by him. You know, I know Cody Bellinger's name came up. I saw that. But I don't think you're going to get Bellinger and De Leon in the same deal. So I believe one of those two would probably have to come over as the headliner for McCutcheon.
Do you think they'd be willing to move their prospect first baseman?
You know, I'm not so sure about him. You know, De Leon's name has came up a lot. He's been the top name. You know, the Dodgers are also looking for a second baseman. And his name has came up just a ton as the guy straight up for Brian Dozier. You know, and that would be a really huge swap if the Twins would take that. You know, I mean, De Leon is a top, you know, supposedly can't-miss pitching prospect. But, you know, Dozier is an established, you know, power-hitting, stealing base guy, you know, solid second baseman. You know, if I'm the Twins, I think I need a little something else. You know, it doesn't, obviously, if you're getting De Leon, you know, I'm not expecting a top, you know, maybe even 30 prospect. But, you know, if I could get a guy in the top 50 or two guys in the top 100 along with De Leon, I might feel better about myself then. But, yeah, you know, the tough part is I think the Dodgers need second more than they need McCutcheon. So they may have to sell De Leon to get a second baseman and, you know, end up going, you know, just end up not, you know, jumping in on McCutcheon. So,
I mean, I would definitely settle, or not settle, but take Brian Dozier.
Yeah. You know, and I know, you know, they did check in on, you know, the veteran guy, you know, Ian Kinsler with the Tigers. Kinsler has a no trade clause, and that's what really shot down that deal, is he wants a new contract to be moved. The other guy that they may slide under the radar here with, if the price is too high for Dozier, don't be surprised if they end up with Logan Forsythe at second base for the Tampa Bay Rays. I mean, he's with the Tampa Bay Rays right now. He had a really good year. So, it could be interesting there. The article does go on to say the Twins don't really have any interest in getting Cody Bellinger back in a Dozier deal. They want De Leon and arms. So they're looking for young pitching.
Isn't everybody?
Yeah, it seems like it. That seems kind of like the thing. You know, and the Dodgers do have young pitching. You know, that wouldn't be a problem for them to give up, you know, a couple. Maybe, you know, maybe they got to give up three. You know, but they have a very well-stocked farm system. You know, and to get, you know, again, to get Dozier for just De Leon and a couple other young prospects, I think it'd be a big steal for them. I would like to know, let me see if I can get Dozier's contract information here. He has signed for two more years. It looks like it's only at $5 million. It looks like it's $5 million per year. Let me double check to make sure the numbers aren't anything odd like that. Yeah, it's actually $6 million this year and then $9 million next year. So the contract had an upward type of you know, built to it there. So, but even so, I mean, a salary like that to the Dodgers isn't really, you know, that that huge of a deal for them. Dozier hit 42 bombs last year, drove in 99 RBIs, and stole 18 bases. And his average improved. He hit 268 last year. He's only a career 246 hitter. So if his average is starting to come around, I mean, he becomes even more valuable. He'll turn 30 in May, so he's still young. He's got plenty of years left. You know, I don't believe he's had any, you know, real serious type of injuries, you know, just the kind of usual stuff. I mean, he's played in 155-plus games the last three seasons. So, you know, I could understand why, you know, why they would want to go that route, just depending on if the two teams can, you know, come to some kind of an agreement. But, yeah, I think I would be shocked if the Dodgers added Dozier and McCutchen. I think it's probably going to be one or the other, depending on, you know, what a team wants. So let's see. Huh. Yeah, they also mentioned here the Giants expressed some interest in Dozier. That was kind of baffling. I thought they were pretty set with Panic at second base, but you never know. I mean, there's, you know, always a possibility they have other plans and all that other stuff. So, but yeah, I'm kind of wondering about this still with the Giants. Why are they not a team in pursuit of McCutchen? You know, Angel Pagan is a free agent. The Giants. You know, Pagan is a free agent. They wouldn't have to bring him back. You know, obviously McCutchen could lock up center field for, you know, however long you wanted to keep him. I think he's only under contract for 1 or 2 more years. Yeah. You know, but I mean, if you wanted to lock him up longer, I mean, that would be totally up to you. So, yeah, I just kind of wonder, you know, wonder what their plans are or what they're kind of thinking. You know, I mean, you know, we talked about they added, you know, Jimmy Rollins, which was interesting. I'm not sure, you know, if he'll even make the team coming out of spring training. I mean, he did make the White Sox last year, but he hit terribly after he made it. So, you know, we'll have to see what happens there. But I mean, you know, right now to me, they only seem to have really 2/3 of an outfield. I mean, they have Span in center and Pence in right. And, you know, I guess, does that make Gregor Blanco the starting left fielder, or do they have right now on the roster resource, their depth chart has Jarrett Parker penciled in as the starting left fielder.
I don't even know who that is.
Yeah, well, you know, I know, you know, he's been a prospect for a few years. You know, he's bounced up and down a little bit. I mean, the way it looks right now, he would probably platoon with Mac Williamson. You know, both these guys have kind of bounced up and down a little bit with the Giants. Neither of them has gotten regular playing time. But, yeah, you know, I mean, you start looking and it's kind of like, okay, well, boy, how much better would McCutchen look in that spot than Parker or Williamson?
A hell of a lot better.
Yeah, you know, and I guess the tough part everybody seems to keep saying is the Giants just don't have the prospects that Pittsburgh would want in return. So, you know, it makes it, of course. Yeah, you know, the fun stuff you'd have to deal with, because, you know, obviously, you know, they probably wouldn't want Parker or Williamson in return. You know, and you kind of start looking at the Giants, prospects here, and you know, there's not a lot of, you know, not a ton of guys that are, you know, jumping out at you that are saying, hey, you know, I'm the guy, you know, people would want me. A lot of their guys are much lower, you know, I mean, in Class A or lower, their top guys. So, I don't know if they're willing to give up Kyle Crick. I know he's their top starter, who may be close. He may sneak into the rotation this year, possibly. So, you know, we'll see. But, you know, I don't know if that's even, you know, if the Pirates would accept that. You know, if you're packaging up Kyle Crick and a few other guys, you know, if that would be enough to land McCutchen. But yeah, that, you know, to me, that always, all along, that always seemed like the best fit. You know, I mean, I think he's the perfect player for that ballpark. But yeah, I guess what do we know, right?
Well, I mean, I know you really want him in Seattle.
Yeah, you know, that would be nice. You know, I just, again, you know, we're looking at, you know, probably a team that doesn't have the prospects to go get him now. You know, maybe if they wouldn't have traded Tijon Walker, they would have been able to put some kind of package together to pull that deal off. You know, I don't know. We'll see. But, you know, I also saw today, Dan, that Edwin Encarnacion's agent is saying he will not be a Toronto Blue Jay next year. I believe he used the term door closed for Encarnacion going back. Now, you know, the Blue Jays struck early. You know, they pick up Kendry Morales, and I'm drawing a blank. I know they added somebody else to kind of help fill that role. You know, if Encarnacion's not a Blue Jay, where's he land?
I go through the American League, Campbell.
Yeah, you know, well, now is he the guy, you know, the Indians still don't have a replacement for Mike Napoli. I know they did bring in Chris Colabello on a minor league deal, but, you know, I don't think they really want him to be that guy. Is it, you know, is Encarnacion their guy there?
That, or what about Texas?
Texas, I know, is, you know, they've actually talked about him. So, you know, there could be some, you know, Baltimore is still looking for a guy. You know, I know they had a deal on the table with Trumbo, and then they pulled it. I just assume that was a negotiating tactic. Yeah, you know, you kind of look around. I mean, you know, even where there's teams he fits, you know, like the Royals could probably use him, but I don't think they're paying him, you know, unless he's willing to take a one-year deal. So, you know, it seems like it's kind of limited to, you know, Cleveland coming through, you know, unless there's really a National League team that's willing to take a chance on him as an everyday first baseman. You know, I know we mentioned Colorado yesterday, you know, other than that, I don't know. You know, unless he's going to Miami.
I don't see that happening.
it's going to be interesting to see where these guys kind of shake out. Because, you know, not only is, you know, Encarnacion out there, but, you know, I mentioned Mark Trumbo. And then the market's been really quiet on Jose Bautista. So, you know, you've got to wonder, you know, why is it taking so long for these guys to get jobs, or, you know, what teams are kind of looking for?
Well, was Bautista offered a qualifying?
You know, I want to say he was. You know, I'm trying to remember, but I think he was.
Because I think that could be one of the biggest reasons he's not getting signed.
Yeah, you know, and the fact that he had a horrible season, you know, definitely, you know, that, and he shot his mouth off. What was he saying he wanted? He wanted, what was it, 3 years at $50 million or something?
Yeah.
No, you know, I mean, no, you, yeah, you know, bad news for him. Nobody in their right mind is giving that to him. So, you know, just one, you know, one of those things, obviously he's going to have to, you know, drop his salary.
Expectations.
Yeah. You know, and it's, you know, it's just kind of weird. I mean, the one guy points out, you know, you mentioned locally, you know, the White Sox need a DH. But, you know, why are they going to pay a guy like Encarnacion or Trumbo or even Mike Napoli, you know, $15, $16, $17 million a year to maybe win 75 games instead of 70? You know, it just doesn't make sense. You know, I mean, if you're going to do that, I mean, you can go out and sign a, you know, a Pedro Alvarez or a Brandon Moss, you know, for less, you know, probably half that money, you know, get a relatively productive DH. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see, you know, like where these guys end up and what they actually end up getting. So, because, yeah, you know, that, and there's the, you know, the theory, and I don't know how much I'd buy this 2 years away, but this guy is pitching the theory that teams are saving their money for the 2018 free agent class. Now, obviously, there are a lot of really cool names here, Dan. We got Bryce Harper, Manny Machado, Josh Donaldson, Brian Dozier, A.J. Pollock, Gene Segura, Charlie Blackman, Daniel Murphy, DJ LeMahieu, Dallas Keuchel, Matt Harvey, Zach Britton, and then possibly Clayton Kershaw and David Price, who have opt-out clauses in their contract. Now, obviously, some of these guys are going to be re-signed by their teams before they hit free agency, so they're not all going to be out on the market. But do you buy that, you know, especially baseball teams that are pretty much making money hand over fist, do you buy the fact that these guys are saving money for a free agent class that's 2 years away?
No, I mean, realistically, I think top five, there's only going to be, you know, the top five, and then you obviously take 10 that are really going to hit.
Yeah, because, you know, you guarantee, I mean, you know, right off the bat, there's no way the Dodgers let Clayton Kershaw go. You know, they'll give him whatever he wants to stay there for however long as he wants. And I you know, I don't blame him at all. You know, obviously, you want to, you know.
For them, they could backload the contract to really
right. Start
paying out after, you know, start to pay out. In 2021, because that's when they'll be out from underneath all of their extended contracts that they took up a couple of years
right. Ago. Yeah, you know, so yeah, there's, you know, that would be the biggest shock, I think, is if it came around to 2018, and obviously we're talking, you know, two full seasons down the road, you know, if somehow Clayton Kershaw ended up on the agent market, I would be so incredibly surprised. It would, you know, my draw would just drop.
You would go to Arizona, right?
Yeah, Arizona steps in. You damn well know if a guy like him hits the free agent market, you know the Yankees are cracking open the checkbook. So.
Yeah, well, I mean, I was just pointing out the Zach Greinke deal, you know.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, well, yeah, we see how that worked out. Of course, maybe he'll have a better year this year, to be fair. You know, we'll have to see how Zach rolls. Yeah, you know, just some of those fun things. But you know, we had a you know, good old over in football, Dan, the NFL named the Pro Bowl team. For what that means, I don't know how excited you are or how anybody else gets excited for this, but oddly people actually do watch this game. They did move it to Orlando, which disappointed quite a few players. But interestingly, Dan, well, I guess we could call it interestingly, no Bears. You know, it's not like baseball where, yeah, it's not like baseball where somebody has to make it. Yeah, no Bears at all. Nope, sadly, Matt Barkley didn't make it. I won't be surprised if down the line somebody like Jordan Howard is added, because the running backs on the NFC side are Ezekiel Elliott, David Johnson, and Devonta Freeman. You know, it looks like Elliott and Freeman's teams will be in the playoffs. They, you know, they may want to skip the game, you know, to, you know, well, in some cases, you know, one of those two teams could end up in the Super Bowl, you know, and then, you know, they may just want to get rest or however they want to look at it. But yeah, no, you know, no special teamers made it, you know, just nobody. So that'll tell you what kind of team the Bears have there.
Well, I'm wondering, when do we get the list of all the guys who aren't going?
Yeah, you know, and obviously, you know, these rosters will, you know, will change quite a bit from what they are. You know, players have these mysterious injuries and stuff that kind of affect them before, you know, the games happen. But, you know, I know the one kind of big surprise was in the NFC where – Drew Brees actually got passed over for Dak Prescott. You know, the quarterbacks are Matt Ryan, who was voted the starter, Aaron Rodgers, and then Dak Prescott is the third guy. You know, now while I know, you know, the Cowboys are winning and, you know, there's all that fun stuff. You know, again, he is a Cowboy. That plays into a big, you know, a big deal with voting and all that other stuff. Drew Brees actually leads the NFL in passing yards with 4,559.
Wow.
Yeah, so, again, you know, but, you know, to be fair, he is on a bad team. In comparison, let me find Prescott here. I have to wander down the list a little bit. Prescott is 16th with 3,418 passing yards. That's kind of how that worked out. I can tell you, Dan, Matt Barkley is 33rd, and Jay Cutler is 35th, because I know you were wondering. But, yeah, the Raiders, I believe it was the Raiders and the Falcons led the way with six each, or I think maybe the Raiders had seven and the Falcons had six. So, you know, there's, you know, always that fun stuff with the – you know, with the voting, like everything else. Oh, it was actually, yeah, the Raiders with seven and the Falcons with six. So, you know, let the snubbing begin, as they say. And they can have all the fun they want with that. So I don't think I voted for a Pro Bowl, Dan. Did you? I forgot all about it.
I didn't know you could.
Yeah, I believe you can vote online like everything else now. So, but yeah, I don't know, you know, again, with your schedule, it's kind of tough for you to see these things, but have you, managed to catch the video of Michael Floyd's DUI arrest?
No.
Yeah. The police had the body camera rolling. Apparently he blew a .217. What is it? It's .008 is above the legal limit, I believe. So he was definitely way over. He was actually asleep behind the wheel when the video starts out, with the car in gear. You know, the police are trying to wake him up. It actually takes the officer quite a bit of time to wake him up. And when he wakes him up, I mean, Floyd is just incoherent. You know, he can't follow the simplest of instructions. The officer is telling him to put his hands on the wheel so he can unlock the door for him, because he couldn't unlock the door. He's telling him to put the car in park. He can't even do that. You know, finally they work it all out. But, of course, now this has brought up the thing that we always get with these cases, Dan, and I'll never understand this. People are saying he shouldn't be allowed to play in the NFL. Why do I always go there? Help me with this.
I mean, why?
You know, I mean, you know, I get it. It's his second DUI. He's going to go to court for it. there is a chance he'll go to jail. Why don't we let the legal process play out before we just decide that this guy can never play professional football again?
Well, I mean, if that's then everyone else who is in that same boat shouldn't be allowed to do what they do.
Yeah, it's so weird when you get these, and literally they're just self-righteous. I mean, they act like they've never made a mistake. And now, to be fair, this is a big mistake. You know, it's his second time. Luckily, no one was hurt. You know, I mean, there's a chance he could have killed somebody else or himself if he would have kept driving. But yet, you know, to blow it up like this every time there's an issue, you know, don't they realize that sooner or later we're just going to start drowning them out when they want to kick everybody out of the league?
Well, I mean, I think political and worldwide, but the president of the Philippines shooting every drug offender.
Right. You know, is that next? They want us to execute every NFL player who breaks the law?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's just kind of how it works out. And, yeah, I just get so baffled, you know, listening to these people. Oh, well, you know, the Patriots shouldn't have signed him. Well, why doesn't he, you know, again, why does he deserve a second chance? I mean, you know, we parole murderers in jail and we allow them a second chance. But a guy who got his second DUI doesn't deserve another chance? You know, the more I look at guys, it's kind of like, God, will you just shut up? Please just shut up. Yeah, you know, I don't know. It's just, you know, I get so frustrated with it. I mean, is this worse than, you know, wife beating or child beating or whatever you want to describe it as?
Well, maybe he should just have to make a commercial and then it'll be okay.
Yeah, you know. So, yeah, whatever happened to those commercials? Did they ever make those?
Yeah, they played for half a season.
Okay. I was going to say, I don't remember ever actually seeing
it. Well, you know, because you've got to pay to make it, but then you have to pay to air it. So.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, you know, that's the part, you know, people always forget about. But, yeah, you know, it's weird. It's, you know, this point in time, Dan, I got to tell you, I'm almost to the point where I'm just glad the NFL season is over. I'm just frustrated with it. I haven't had a lot of enjoyment watching the games. I don't think, you know, the games have been very good. And, you know, I just get so tired of listening to, you know, for whatever reason, they're the sport that no matter what they do, you know, I mean, Russell Wilson could save people from a burning building. And they would lead with whatever the biggest negative story of the week was. And, it's literally, it's just kind of like, oh, you know, we're out to just kind of kill this league no matter what. Is it just because they're the big dog on the block and, you know, they want to be the one, you know, you want to be the one who takes them down?
I think so, because it was interesting last night to the mothership. They were doing an expose on dropping weight in the UFC, you know, in combat sports.
Yeah.
And how, you know, unhealthy it is, how it can actually lead to concussion, with the drastic changes. Yeah, nobody says a thing. Nobody even really cares when, you know, guys are testing positive for whatever. They just, no big deal. You know, and if it weren't for the state commissions, UFC, I believe they wouldn't do anything about it.
Yeah,
so, I mean, you know, no one's going after them, but they're not the giant that the NFL is.
Yeah, it just makes it so weird. It's like, we're gonna, I'm gonna be the one to take you down. Okay, why? because it's funny, because for the first few weeks, remember, Dan, all we heard was how the ratings were bad. Oh, God, look at the NFL ratings. It's finally caught up to them. And, everybody said, the election would have a lot to do with it. And it did. Now the ratings are back up, and nobody's said a word about the ratings. All of a sudden, it's like, oh, okay, so the ratings are back. Whoopee. And it's just kind of like, great. Wonderful. You guys are idiots. So...
Well, I still don't see how the election has anything to do with the ratings.
It's weird, isn't it? It manages, I don't know, maybe people are out campaigning instead of watching football?
I guess I never thought of that. Do you spend your Sundays watching, let's just say 8 hours of CNN because you want to stay up on what Hillary or Trump said that day or the night before? But, maybe there is that many people out there campaigning.
Yeah. Obviously it's, they went somewhere and they came back. They were gone for a little while and now the ratings are back. They're pretty solid. So I don't know what it, I don't know what it was. I wasn't buying the election thing either. I just thought, okay, the ratings are down. They're going to be down this year. It's just, things are catching up. There are a ton of other television options, right now. You can watch pretty much anything at any time. Even if you want to go, catch up with an NFL game, you can probably find it later and just be like, oh, okay, I'll just watch it then. So.
The World Series and baseball kind of coincided, and then 2 weeks later the election was up.
Now the ratings are back up. Everything seems okay, and nobody's pronouncing the NFL dead anymore. So we'll just kind of have to see how it goes. I'm sure they'll kill them after, now that we have 4 London games next year, I'm sure they'll be, they'll be killed for that. So, that's just kind of how those things go. But it's always just so weird to me. And I guess maybe that's part of my problem is when they, they do stuff like that, it just kind of bores me. I'm just kind of like, yeah, okay, whatever, I just end up having lackluster interest in, what they actually are talking about. But now I did see Dan, and I don't believe you have him this year, but I know he was your guy, I think, the year you won the basketball league. J.R. Smith broke his thumb last night. Well, I guess technically they're calling it a fracture. And he needs surgery. I don't know if he had it today or not. Let me see if this article will tell me. There's a new one here. No, it doesn't look like he's had surgery yet. But it looks like he's going to miss 4 to 6 weeks. And it is his right thumb. So it's on his shooting hand. Big loss for the Cavaliers. No loss for the Cavaliers. What do you think?
Not a big, kind of in the middle.
He did sign that big deal with him. He got 4 years and $57 million in the offseason. So, but that was, of course, with the way the salary cap jumped up, everybody got money. So, let's see. He was averaging 8.6 points a game this season, 1.2 assists and 2.1 rebounds.
Man,
so he was down a little bit. Yeah. down a little bit from his career numbers. In his career, he averages 13.1 with 2.2 assists and 3.2 rebounds. So they did win without him last night in overtime. They beat Milwaukee. I think it was 114 to 108. So he only played, he played 17 minutes before he left the game injured. Yeah, I'm just, you know, I'm not quite sure, you know, how, you know, how it affects the team or, you know, and especially, you know, it's 4 to 6 weeks of the regular season. So it's, you know, it's not like we're in the playoffs or anything or, you know, any of that fun stuff. I just assume, you know, I know Kevin Love is banged up. I don't know if he's playing tonight. So, you know, maybe both of them out is a bigger issue.
It could be, but I still think they can coast to the end of the playoffs.
Does that get our guy Mike Dunleavy a little more playing time with Smith out? He can shoot the three.
Yeah.
So, you know, that he looks like, you know, obviously he'll be one of the guys to fill the role. They do have him on Shumpert. I'm trying to remember if he's healthy or not. I know for a little while he was out as well, but I believe he is back. So I wonder, let me see if I can find the box score, because I think that game has already started. Maybe it will tell me who started tonight for the Cavaliers. Let's see who started in JR's place. So, come on, please. There we go. It's actually 20-11 right now. Dan, the Cavaliers are winning. So, you know, and of course, the Cavaliers have to be on the bottom of the box score, Dan. Why did they do that to me? It looks like, great, one of the guys who we didn't even mention. I got to look up his name now. Dan, what can you tell me about DeAndre Liggins?
He's in no relation to Andre.
Yeah, I can tell you, Dan, that he was a second-round pick of the Orlando Magic in the 2011 draft. 53rd overall. He went to college at Kentucky. This season for the Cavaliers, he's averaging 2.9 points, 1.2 assists, and 1.8 rebounds. For his career, he averages 1.9 points, 0.6 assists, and 1.4 rebounds. He is the guy who started for J.R. Smith tonight. So I don't know if it's going to be his job from now on, or, you know, or until Smith gets back, or if they're planning on, you know, doing something else. So, but yeah, maybe, are you going to have to look at him, Dan, to see if you want to pick him up in our fantasy league?
No.
So, are you sure? For 4 to 6 weeks, you could have DeAndre Liggins on your team. How do you think that would go?
Well, you know, it's either that or I could trade away my entire team. Another guy's team for AD.
All right, the music means Dan and I are taking off live. We are going to do a little overtime, so Dan will make his picks in his overtime. Let me see if I remember how to do this. To get into overtime, you go to blogtalkradio.com and you find our show, Sports Time Radio. You're looking for the title, You Know What Is Just 4 Days Away. That'll get you the extra. We're going to stick around probably about 15 minutes overrun. That's how you get there. You know the deal while we're gone. SportsTimeRadio.com. Follow the link to the Facebook page. Give it a like. Jump on that Twitter feed at SportsTimeRadio. Follow that. As always, thanks for listening live. And don't forget, you can find the podcast anytime you want now at Man, we hadn't done overtime in so long, I almost forgot how to set it up. So it was kind of strange. So, all right, well, here's the NBA schedule, Dan. I mentioned that the Cavaliers and Bucks are already underway. They're actually on NBA TV right now. We have the Minnesota Timberwolves at the Atlanta Hawks, the Memphis Grizzlies at the Detroit Pistons, the Washington Wizards at the Chicago Bulls, the Oklahoma City Thunder at the New Orleans Pelicans, the Sacramento Kings at the Utah Jazz, the Houston Rockets at the Phoenix Suns, and the Dallas Mavericks at the Portland Trail Blazers. The Dallas-Portland game will be the second game on NBA TV tonight. You ended up splitting all your picks last night, Dan. The Knicks actually won for you in the NBA, but sadly you're upset with the Jazz. They ended up getting pummeled. So, not just kind of a push day, a little 500. But I figured since the Bulls are playing, we'll do two NBA games. It's your guy Bradley Beal and the Washington Wizards in town. You got the Bulls beating them, or you like the Wizards tonight?
I'm gonna go with the Bulls.
All right, let's see. I'm trying to think what other game did I like? There were, they were all kind of tonight, but I guess we're gonna go with this one. Let's go with the Memphis Grizzlies at the Detroit Pistons. Who you got winning there?
The Pistons.
Oh, okay. I was surprised there. I thought you were going to go a different route, but will you be partaking in any NBA basketball this evening on the television, or what do you have going on?
Well, I was thinking about pulling out my old transistor radio, but I should be home in time for the second half of the bowl game.
Oh, well, that's good. So. Hopefully, right?
Exactly.
You never know. Don't jinx yourself. You're just hoping you make it. So. But yeah, now will you do you do you ever check out the NBA TV?
Sorry, I lost you on there.
I said, do you ever check out the NBA TV game?
I did the one night, and it completely threw me off because Shaq was there and in the studio. So I was like, where the hell is everybody?
So, yeah, it's, I try to catch Golden State and stuff if I can get it on the weekend, but I haven't watched too many games over there.
No, I mean, I think if they were wise, they would continue with their setup. Of TNT and the mothership, but I think it'd be nice that they're not on those two networks, that they should really focus on putting two games on their network.
Yeah, I guess like anything else, it's a way to continue to get exposure for your league. You got your own network, you got to throw something there, right?
Yeah, but I mean it kind of defeats the purpose. like why else do you have your own network if you're not going to show your own live game? I enjoy the summertime with the D League or the Summer League.
Yeah, it's always kind of fun to watch those games, but
that's when Doug McDermott is awesome.
that's when you became a Doug McDermott guy. I don't believe, switching kind of to the NHL here, Dan, I don't have this guy. I know you have Steven Stamkos of the Tampa Bay Lightning, but you don't happen to have their goaltender, do you, Ben Bishop?
No, thank God I just saw that. He's out for like 3 to 4.
Yeah, he's out 3 to 4 weeks. Another goalie, Jim Howard of the Red Wings, I believe he's more of a backup this year. He just went on 7-day IR. And then in last night's Blackhawks game, Marian Hossa had to leave early with what the NHL describes as an upper body injury. They haven't said if he's going to miss any time. So there were some pretty significant injuries last night that, not only will affect the teams, but obviously fantasy owners as well, because I'm sure Ben Bishop is somebody's starting goaltender. And Marian, with the way Marian Hossa's played, he's really contributed to somebody's fantasy team.
Not mine.
Yeah. But now, in your NHL games, you did split last night. The Blackhawks had a bit of a disappointing loss. It looked like they were going to come all the way back and didn't quite make it. Lost 4-3. But the San Jose Sharks ended up getting a relatively easy 4-1 win for you. So you sit there as well. Tonight being it's Rivalry Wednesday, Dan, there's only two NHL games on. So I'm going to give them to you actually in reverse order, and you tell me who you got winning these games. We got the Edmonton Oilers at the Arizona Coyotes, Dan. They're the Coyotes, not the Diamondbacks. I know that. who you got here? You like the Oilers or you like the Coyotes?
I think I'm going to go with the Oilers.
Right. And now this, I saved this game. This is the NBC Sports Network rivalry game, Dan. The Washington Capitals at the Philadelphia Flyers. So the Flyers have been one of the better teams. You know, they had that long, just snapped that long win streak, I think a game or two ago. You got Washington going in there and beating them up, or are you actually picking against the Capitals tonight?
No, I'm going with Washington.
Oh, I should have saw that one coming. So I didn't think – I thought maybe this was going to be the game. You know, it's like, okay, maybe this is the night Dan actually goes against the Capitals there. But no, he stayed true. I guess, is it because you picked against one Washington team already tonight that you couldn't pick against the other one?
Yeah, I don't know what it is. I like the D.C. team.
So, well, yeah, that actually should be a pretty good game. Of course, it's going to be on, you know, too late for me to watch. I think it's an 8 o'clock start or something like that. Even if it's a 7 o'clock start, I'll still want to be able to watch a little of it tonight. So, just a couple more days, Dan. A couple more days, I can get back to normal, hopefully.
Monday.
Yeah, well, maybe. You know, it depends how far behind we are, but I'm hoping Monday is the day, or, you know, at least Tuesday or Wednesday or something, my life can get a little to normal. You know, I did. Did you you get to watch any of the Blackhawks last night? Now, you know, Corey Crawford is back. They activated him, so.
Yeah, I was doing time for the last period, and, you know, like you said, they were right there.
Yeah, I thought, you know, they had been pulling out so many of those games. I actually, I had woken up and I had it on the radio. So I got to hear the end of it. And, you know, they pull out so many of these games. I honestly thought they were going to find a way to win it last night. But, yeah, sadly, you know, Ottawa hung on and got a win.
They have a good goalie. But there was definitely a couple of shots in that, you know, like within the last 5 minutes that should have gone in, but their goalie was phenomenal for that last period, and their defense was up.
So, yeah, I know that, you know, they after they pulled Scott Darling, they had some really good chances, and I believe Mike Congdon was in goal for the Ottawa last night. He made some really big saves late. So that was a big plus. You know, I did see, you know, they were talking today, you know, Jaromír Jágr tied for second all-time in the NHL in scoring last night. He had three assists in the Florida win. They scored three goals. They scored three goals in the game. He assisted on all three of them. So if you have Jágr in our fantasy league, he picked up three big assists for you. That'll help you out. I don't think he's going to catch number one. I think Gretzky is quite a bit ahead of him. You know, and I know, I believe Jaeger's 44 or something. I don't think he's going to stick around long enough to catch Gretzky, do you?
No, but I do think LeBron's going to catch number one because he's at number eight now, I think it is. He passed Moses.
Yeah,
Malone.
He just passed Moses. Yeah, he passed Moses Malone last night. So he is number eight. Right now, he's got a chance. Shaq is next on the list. He's got a chance to catch him. So we'll, you know, we'll have to see. Let's see. Jágr has 1,887 points in his career. Gretzky has 2,857 in his career. So little less than 1,000 points will get you will get you to Gretzky. So let's see. I'm looking for the next active player on the list here. Joe Thornton, Dan, is number 28 on the list. That he has 1,341 career points. So there you go. Bobby Hull is actually down to 50 right now, former Chicago Blackhawk great. He has 1,170 points in his career. So but yes, yeah, so yeah, big thing for Jágr last night. Obviously, that was huge. And the weird part, Dan, is he took some years off to go back to Russia to play. I don't remember how many years it was, but he just decided he was going home. Looks like from here we go. I got it. 2008 to 2011, he played with Avangard Omsk, OMSK. So he spent, three seasons over there. Not that it would help him catch Gretzky, but he probably would have went past Messier a while ago, don't you think?
Yeah. I was going to say, did he score 1,000 goals in 3 years in Russia?
Yeah, probably. So, just one of those.
Jumping back to the NBA talk, I've never really looked at the top 10 list or all-time scorers. But for you to say that sitting at 7 is Shaq, do you think to me that's kind of impressive, seeing that he was a center, couldn't shoot a free throw to save his life. I mean, to be all the way up there for for the job he was to do, do you think that's pretty impressive for him to sit at 7, soon to be 8?
Well, a lot of the leading scorers, what I noticed, I was looking at the list today after they had LeBron on it, and a lot of the leading scorers are centers. Kareem is still 1. Will Chamberlain is 5. Shaq is 7. Malone is 8, who LeBron just went by. But for Shaq to be up there, because you kind of look at these other guys, he was such a bad free throw shooter. So, yeah, for him to be where he is really, really pretty impressive, because, everybody else on this list, while Will Chamberlain started out as a terrible free throw shooter too, but he improved. Everybody else, guys like Jordan and Kobe, they made their living at the free throw line some nights getting, 18, 20 foul shots. So, it's a pretty big deal that he's hanging around there. All right. Well, Dan, we made it through a 15-minute overtime for the first time in a while. So, thank everybody for sticking around. We're back tomorrow at 5:30 live. Go check out all the cool stuff. blog@sportstimeradio.com. Get over there and read it. While you're there, link over to the Facebook page. Give that a like. Jump on and follow the Twitter feed @sportstimeradio. Now, Dan's picks come up there. They also come up at Dan C. Mann. Remember, there's 3 E's in that. He's got the Bulls and the Pistons getting NBA wins tonight, and he likes the Oilers and the Capitals to get wins on the ice tonight. Yep, he took the Capitals over the Flyers, folks. Get on that Twitter feed. Let Dan know what you think. As always, thanks for listening live. We greatly appreciate it. We're back tomorrow at 5:30. And don't forget, you can get the podcast anytime you want now at tunein.com.